that we get to have some fun. No, I'm joking. So, funny story, several funny stories maybe this morning, but definitely the first funny one is Wednesday night. You probably don't remember, but I was really, really, really scruffy. Like, it was like everything was in full and it's just curly and it hurts, to be honest with you. And it hurts to shave, and it's why I don't like to shave. And it's like, well, don't let it get that way. And it's like, I understand, I'm busy, but yeah, you're right. So this morning I shaved everything off, but I left the mustache. And I walked into the bedroom and I said, Sarah, it's last chance to, you know, I can keep it. Get that off your face. Man, that would have been so perfect, though, to go with this. Ugh. That would have been so good. So today, anyway, we get to talk a little bit about Father's Day. And we'll keep it light. I think there's a lot of ways to go with this. And maybe you can be very, I think, take things maybe one certain way. We could look at maybe the prodigal son. And we could look at a few different things to kind of zero in on what it means to be a father. But it means so many different things that it's very difficult to zero in, I think, on one thing. But I think, for me anyway, the thing that maybe we can do and we can get out of it is we can keep it light, and we can appreciate the things that fathers do in light of the obligations that we have to raise our children in a godly way. And we can maybe make some application to our Heavenly Father, and we can move on, and hopefully you can enjoy your day understanding that everything that you do is in light indeed of our Heavenly Father. It was once said, as far as I'm aware, these are old folk tales, I suppose, a small boy said that Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on the gift. And then the father goes, there's a gift? This, I got a shirt today. So that was another pink shirt. I own two now. I'm working my way up. Mark Twain said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to the age of 21, I was astonished at how much the old man learned in 7 years. These are all things, I'm going to say a series of things now that you might be able to relate to. That might be one of them. Someone wrote these pretty funny words. The world according to dad. Several things, the world according to dad. And you've probably heard most of them, maybe all of them, and you might have said several of them, but we'll see. Definitely this one. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. And when you're the kid, you're like, sure. How should I know? Ask your mother. Fair. I'm not made out of money. I remember that. Man, I tell you what, $20 bill went a long way when I was a kid. When I got a $20 bill from my dad, it was like, look out. Look out. This story changes all the time, but it goes something like this. When I was your age, I walked 15 miles to school through rain, sleet, terrible heat, snow and everything else each day to school. And then on the way back to school, I had to plow the field, which was 5 yards away further from our house. And we had to stand behind a horse and do it. Oh, they went uphill back in the day too when they went to school. Up the hill, down the hill, and up another hill. How about this one? You are going and you will have fun. If you break your leg, don't come running to me. This is a classic. Why? Because I said so. Yes, sir. If you don't quit that, I'm going to call your mother. This is definitely me. Y'all better pick this up before mom comes home. Just wait till you have kids of your own. I remember hearing that a lot. And then I've said this a lot too. I wasn't asleep. I was just resting my eyes. Said that many times. So as fathers, we have said these things. We have heard these things. And all of that is fun. It's true. And it probably brings up a lot of memories of maybe your father, right? And that's a good thing. But we have our obligations, and we know that. And we'll cover some of those things this morning that I think are important, and all hopefully of the light in the light again of maybe understanding that we can see our Heavenly Father through some of the obligations that we have, through some of the things that we have to do and should do. And maybe that gives us a greater appreciation for, yes, our earthly Father, as we should. And again, in the light of our Heavenly Father, who does all these things for us, who provides all these things for us, and we'll give you some of those this morning. So what are the duties of fathers? Well, I would say maybe the first one in our list today would be to provide life's necessities. Parents ought to provide for their children. There's plenty of scripture behind that. And if a man fails to do so, he's far worse than an infidel, we're told in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. And again, in the light of our Heavenly Father, this is exactly what He does. He provides our life's necessities. One thing that we commonly forget about, that we do all the time, is breathe. We're doing it right now, and we'll do it as soon as you forget that you're breathing, which you will in a few more moments. You will still be doing that, and the Lord will be providing that necessity for you, and you have to have that necessity for life. And I guess it's just kind of an interesting comparison, because when you think about yourself as a parent, I would say, you know, today's Father's Day, but as a parent in general, there's lots of things that you do for your kids that are similar in nature. Let's say, for example, providing breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The kids don't understand what's actually happening, but that's really, really, really valuable. A funny example of this would have been, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. Sarah's rolling her eyes now. She doesn't like when I tell stories about us, but I love you. But so Sarah makes breakfast, and I think she made jelly toast for Layla. And I think Layla licked some of the jelly maybe off the toast and then, you know, said, "I'm hungry, I want something else." And you know, Sarah was like, "You need to eat your toast," and whatever, whatever. And I just looked at Sarah and I just go, "That is just amazing to me. Like, this girl has breakfast made for her and she wants something else." I mean, we used to go when I was a kid, we were not so poor that we couldn't eat, but we were so poor that the 10 for 10 TV dinners, I mean, that was breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever you want. Like, that's what we would buy. And that was that. And I had to make them because Mom was working. and that's just what it was. And here's, you know, Layla's got jelly toast, which I think is pretty good. And the fact that, you know, Sarah's in there, she takes out the toaster, she puts it in there, she cuts it all up, she cuts it into pieces, puts it on there nice and everything. And I think Jordan doesn't like jelly, so she makes sure that she makes Jordan a different way and et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, yeah, I want something else. It goes back to that list of things that was said earlier, right? There's a couple that we didn't list, but but maybe a couple that we could use. But it's one of those things that the children don't realize what's happening, that you're providing for life's necessities constantly. And they don't really know. The clothes that they wear, the food that they eat, the couch that they sit on, the bed that they sleep in, all of these things. And it's amazing that it kind of frustrates us maybe sometimes, but certainly once we look a little bit further beyond our frustration and realize that quite literally we get upset about things in life, and it's like God is giving us the breath right now to be able to be here. Like, the same thing is happening. It's just amazing to me. But we provide for life's necessities. That is our obligation as a father. We're thankful for that, and we're thankful that our Heavenly Father does that. Of course, we have the do not provoke your children to wrath. You know, this one's kind of tough because sometimes when your child's throwing let me just say me, because it's always easier to pick on me, right? The guy in the pink shirt, it's easy to pick on the guy in the pink shirt. So when Jordan's throwing, you know, Jordan doesn't get what she wants, and Jordan's pretty aggressive, and she is her own person, and she's, by golly, going to do what needs to be done. Like, it's scary. So she's like, ugh. And I might go, ugh. And I might start poking her and stuff. And I don't know if that's provoking them to wrath. I hope not. But I'm just trying to make her laugh. And ultimately she does. And then if I pick her up and throw her on the couch, she definitely starts laughing. But we're not supposed to provoke our kids to wrath by unreasonable commands, let's say. needless severity that comes from the manifestation of anger. So we shouldn't do that as fathers, and we will get angry, and sometimes we may have to make commands, right? We might have to ask for things to be done, and sometimes we need to command for things to be done. But we should do that in the right spirit and in the spirit of love. Simply, again, if you look in the light of our Heavenly Father, it's the exact same thing. Our Heavenly Father loves us, certainly. But, you know, God makes some requests, and then He makes some commands, and we need to follow those things. It's our obligation to discipline our children and to make those things and those requests of our children, and it's our obligation to follow them from our Heavenly Father, our ultimate example. As fathers, we're also supposed to provide spiritual training. So important. So important. The training, admonition, or instruction, if you will, of the Lord, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, to train our children up in the Lord. We are having a very brief, but I think could be a very deep well, of a conversation with Brian Edward and myself, just talking in the back about how many kids are here and how great it is to see all these kids here. And then it kind of went in the direction of how important it is that they're here, and for so many different reasons. It's like, hey, they get to be around their friends, and that was the point that Edward made, was that it was so important for them to have so many young people to relate to. And immediately my mind just starts turning. I'm like, yeah, you know, my kids love to come to church. And part of the reason, and I think the larger part of the reason why they love to come to church, is because they get to see people that they care about. They get to see their friends, and they get to play with their friends outside afterwards and, you know, sit with them and color books and things like that. But, you know, that leads to something. You know, they come out of Bible class, and they know that God loves them. They know that Jesus loves them. That's not an accident. They know who Noah is. They know what the rainbow is all about. And these seeds are just planted, and they're planted and planted when they're young. And they start to learn that, hey, when we pray, when someone comes up to pray, you know, I'm like, you know, we stop doing what you're doing and observe that moment. And Edward made the point, too, that they understand the difference. It's amazing because they're young, but they understand the difference between how they're supposed to act right now, for example, versus how they can act literally as soon as I'm done in like 60 seconds. No, I'm just kidding. A few more minutes. Out there, they go nuts. They go nuts. They go outside, running up and down the hill and rolling down the hill, like picking up bugs and all kinds of fun stuff. But they know how to behave now versus there. That's amazing, you know, when a three-year-old can do that. Spiritual training, so important. Training by way of instruction with God's Word. We're supposed to deliver that. Training by way of example. We're supposed to deliver that. And is that not exactly what our Heavenly Father does for us? He gives us His Word, and then the manifestation of all the deity, the fullness of deity dwelling in Jesus, to walk this earth, to speak the way that He did, to do the things that He did, to not do the things that He didn't do, in the way in which He did them. And ultimately, why? So that we could be robots? No. So that the ultimate manifestation of love could be shown. On the cross, sacrifice. Amazing. That leads to the next point. Loving discipline. Unpleasant at times, yes, but loving discipline. And I think if we look at the life of Jesus, that's exactly what we see. We see a loving God that, yes, disciplines us. And that is indeed our role. But it is done in love. And the last thing that I would say about fathers and their duties, to manage their household. A primary responsibility, you can say, of the wife in so many ways and mother, but also the role of the father. And I certainly would say that it's beyond reasonable to say that our job as fathers in this way is to provide all the necessities and all of the support to create the environment where kids can grow up, be loved, learn about the love of the Lord, and ultimately, Lord willing, obey the gospel and serve Him. There's nothing beyond that that is the priority. So there's lots of things that we do as fathers. Maybe we work and we provide things, and there are nice things that we provide. You know, the girls have little scooters and, you know, whatever, and all of our kids have so many cool little things, and that's great. But there is nothing more important than managing your household in the way that your children will always know throughout the day the things that they have, and at the end of the day, that they are given and sustained by God. And that in turn, we must give our life to God. And with that, I'll move to maybe seven ways, brief ways that you can impact your child's faith, because I think that, like, if we're not trying to raise our kids to be Christians, then I mean, you know, we're just kicking the can down the road. We're not really doing anything. But the first one I would say, to model a growing and personal faith. If your kids don't see your faith, they won't know what it looks like. We had that conversation this morning in Bible class. I told the high school kids, I said, you're very fortunate. You know, you've probably only been around, at least you've grown up in this congregation. I think all of them have grown up in this congregation. I said, you're very fortunate because not every congregation looks like this. But what you're seeing is what it should look like. So you're very fortunate because when you go elsewhere, you're going to know that it looks different. And that's going to be weird. But they see. And when they see something different, they will know. Kids are very observant. So they need to see that faith modeled in their parents. They don't just need to hear about it. They need to hear about it. We covered that. They need to see it. They need to be able to see it and know that this is what we do. And when something different happens, that's strange. The second thing would be to include faith in normal conversations. That's very, very, very important. Make it tied together. Everything ties together. We also talked about that in the high school class. We talked about sports teams. We talked about chorus. We talked about band. We talked about all these things that we do in our lives, friends, groups, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then we layered them and prioritize them, and then harmoniously tie them all together. Because this is really what Paul is doing in chapters 12 to 15, let's say, in Romans. He talks about the harmony, about the different parts, and how they can work all together. How is that even possible? And it's the first thing I would say is to realize that all of these things are indeed connected. How do we connect them? Include faith, include God in daily conversation. Not just when you pray. It's a great time. Not just when they go to bed and lay down. Where are you going, Daddy? I'm going to work. Why? God wants me to work, baby, but why? So that can provide some things for you, but why? So that we can serve God, but why? Because He loves us. Oh, yeah, God loves us. It's like they've heard that before. Include faith in normal conversations. Three, be well-rounded. Don't compartmentalize your faith. It's really this kind of a similar point. Don't let your faith be most obvious at church. Let your faith be most obvious as much as possible everywhere. Four, be authentic. Kids are smart, and they just get smarter and smarter and smarter. Be genuine with them. Be real with them. I think young people appreciate that. I can certainly tell you without a shadow of a doubt. Like the age of 18 to 24, I know super well. So, you know, you got 3, you got 5, and then everything in between that, I don't know anything about. And then you got 18 to 24, and I know a lot about that. And I can tell you from those that are 18 to 24, which I think is an extremely critical time in a young person's life, they appreciate someone who's genuine. Someone who's authentic, someone who's real. Why did you come to Dalton State? That's oftentimes one of the top three. Because I think that I'm going to be at a place where they treat me genuinely. They're real with me. Kids say, keep it 100. That works for you, then fine. But I would say be genuine, be authentic. Five, serve together. You know, we do a lot of things to try and help each other. I think it's if you can manage to bring your kids along to serve, to go, you know, I mean, Riley came over when we moved and picked up a ton of trash out of the tree line at our house. Didn't have to do that. That's cool. If we can serve together, the more we can involve our kids, fathers, the more that we can involve our kids in service, the better. Pray for your children. We probably do that, right? maybe we need to, like, maybe we should do more. I don't know. Like, it's scary. The world is scary. Pray for your kids and with them. Pray with your kids, because I'm certain you do both. I'm certain you do both. Pray with your kids. Let your kids see your prayer life. Let them hear the things that you're praying about. Give them things by doing this to pray about. And finally, learn and communicate love in the way in which they see it. So there's that book about love languages, and I'm not going to go on a whole dissertation on that. But people see things differently. People learn differently. People are different. We are all different. We are all made in God's image with our own fingerprint, our own unique fingerprint. Find the way in which your child learns. Find the way in which your child wants to be loved and responds best to love. And do that for them. And do that for them. And I'll close with this. If you have your Bibles and can go to Ephesians 6. We often read Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, the whole, putting on the armor of God. We often read this in light of what it is, putting on the armor of God. But as I was thinking about some of what's being said here, I thought about how, you know, as a father, I want to protect my children. And that's one of those areas where, you know, you kind of bow up a little bit if someone or something is threatening your child. You kind of don't appreciate that. And I think about putting on the armor of God, and I think, you know, that's a great way to look at that. In verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as for shoes on your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. We preach about this. Sometimes it's in a, you know, VBS, and, you know, we maybe in Bible class we like cutouts of a sword or a shield or something like that, and that's all fine. But is this not what you want to provide for your children? So I often read this and I think that I want God to provide these things for me, and He's telling me how I can do this. And then I just think that this is exactly what I would want for my kids. This is exactly how I would want my kids to put on the whole armor of God. And He tells us how. And I think it's a great lesson to learn from us to our kids to deliver directly from our Heavenly Father. And if there's anything that you take away this morning, let it be that everything that we have to do as fathers, just look to your Heavenly Father. Just look to your Heavenly Father. And then do that and strive for it as much as you can. If you have the desire this morning to follow in the footsteps of what the Lord has laid out for us, to obey the gospel, to render obedience through baptism, to receive the remission of your sins, we have that opportunity this morning. If you need the prayers of the saints, we will pray for you. If we can help you in any way, come forward as we stand and as we sing. There's a fountain.